Well, let me review very, very briefly just the last section of what we did last week, bottom page 41, section called Balancing Wisdom and Compassion. Don was asking, as we're developing compassion, is it more appropriate to balance the compassion with wisdom or allow the compassion to develop as much as possible without being balanced? It doesn't seem like a good idea, but... So, anyway, Ra basically says, to the student of the balancing process, we may suggest that the most stringent honesty be applied, which means really be honest about our feeling. So when we feel strong anger, okay, you know, we feel it. When we feel superior to somebody, even though we know superiority is false, you know, there's no superiority in terms of essence, even though some are smarter or have greater, better quality mind complex, or others have more knowledge or truth or love truth more. There is no superiority, but we may feel it. Or we may feel inferior as we see that we can't do the matrix as well as others, which is true. Wanderers don't do 3D as well as 3D natives, generally, in many ways. So, Ra said, as the compassion is perceived, meaning we want to open heart, it's suggested that in balancing, this perception be analyzed, meaning how deep is our compassion, how broad, how well-covering, fully expressive of our experience or integrated, joined to the experience is compassion. And Ra says, you know, it takes many, many tries, many openings into compassion before true universal love develops. And they call Ray 4, heart chakra, an all-important springboard energy center. Because the development of heart chakra basically creates a bridge to the sixth sense, third eye, forehead chakra. Because the path from the physical heart through the lungs and the throat to the head is actually clear anatomically. And symbolically, as anatomical as symbolism, and metaphysically. So that those, you know, as we love, as we feel compassion, we also have a sense of our oneness with them, or with the object of compassion. The moment of compassion is it's a kind of resonance with the law of one, very much so. And so, they're basically saying, you know, it's not going to happen right away that we feel true universal love. It takes time and repeated rememberings that the moment contains love or an opening to accept. Okay. It is as it is, and that's fine as it is. Ra said that after that, we may or may not necessarily develop or bring in wisdom. Depends on what's happening. They talked about balancing manifestations. This is their Ra, you know, Ra is the teacher of adepts. So when they say balancing manifestations, they're talking about balancing our expression by word or thought into the world. Yes, it's appropriate to balance universal love and wisdom in that case for fourth and fifth center. When we talk to people, they would benefit from wisdom or clear understanding, which may be just to say, you know, oh, I see, that's what you think. Okay, yeah, that's interesting. And leave them alone and not present something else because they don't want it. Or giving helpful advice. If the balancing is of mind or spirit, meaning internally, there's not necessarily movement into wisdom, meaning if we're just exploring, like as in meditation, the nature of our compassion, we may just be developing a quality of compassion by looking at the mind process, meaning, you know, after an experience in relationship with others, reflecting on it, considering the degree of compassion versus frustration or selfishness or rejection of them in the experience, considering what true compassion might have been or is, that kind of development doesn't necessarily bring in wisdom of how to be different in the situation, but simply expansion of what compassion is. And it's also not so different than like the Brahma Viharas, the four foundations of mindfulness. You know about that, Billy. Buddhist practice to develop compassion or to develop big heart. It's actually four Brahma Viharas. It means divine abodes, which is a god. Vihara is a place or a home or a dwelling. So the four dwellings associated really with heart chakra. So those are meditations. So anyway, and Ra again was saying that, you know, don't forget where you are, the density from which the adept desires to move. 3D is about lessons of love. Yeah, we can develop wisdom, and we have understanding or we have development of wisdom already somewhat. In general, when wisdom need to be pulled together, for sure. So, Adrian, can you mute your mic or something?
Are you still hearing? I'm not doing anything.
Well, I was saying,
how do I do that, by the way? I'm just sitting here not doing anything, but...
Sorry, I heard something. On the Skype window, there's a red button which you should not click. That means cancel the phone, or maybe it was Billy. But anyway, yeah, just so you know, if you look at the Skype window, there's a time bar which shows that we've been talking actually for an hour and 11 minutes.
Right.
To the right of that is something that looks like a microphone.
Yeah, I just saw the mute.
Yeah, so if you put your mouse over it, the little thing, the little pop-up says mute your microphone.
Sure, okay.
But anyway, it's okay, or maybe that was silly, or... Yeah, I'm just sensitive to that. Yeah, don't forget to unmute if you want to talk.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd like your talking, too. So, anyway, anything to say about that, or we'll jump into the new stuff? Yeah. Metta Sutra. Okay, if you can give that link, Billy, it's interesting. You know, so Buddhism very much develops, I mean, this is early Buddhism, you know. It's very, from the Tipitaka means the three baskets. Beautiful stuff. Really, really nice and good translations today. This is Theravada Buddhism. Vipassana, what's still practiced in Thailand and Burma, Sri Lanka. And, you know, it's very centered on development of our faculties. And one is love, compassion. And these are meditations associated with it that are really useful and a very fine way of world service by mind. So let me go into the new material for today, page 42. Time, Space, Enlightenment. And this is related to Dewey Larson, which Erhard knows about, and we talked a little bit. Time, space, space-time. Don knows physics, you know. He was a physics professor, I believe. So Don asks, could you please explain the concept of space-time and time-space? How we can transcend the concept, and at what density level these concepts are no longer important? Good question. Ra answers, the space-time and time-space concepts describe mathematically as possible the relationships of your 3D illusion, that which is seen, which is space-time, to that which is unseen, which is time-space. These descriptions are clumsy. However, they're adequate for our description here. So we have then what's seen and what's not seen. In the experiences of the mystical search for unity, meaning moving into higher self or the experience of oneness, these need never be considered, for they're only part of an illusory system. The seeker seeks the one. The one is to be sought, as we have said, by the balanced and self-accepting self, aware both of its apparent distortions and its total perfection. This is a quote I presented before. Resting in this balanced awareness, the entity then opens itself to the universe which it is. The light energy of all things may then be attracted by this intense seeking, and wherever the inner seeking meets the attractive cosmic prana, meaning energy of the chakras, realization of the one takes place. The purpose of clearing each energy center, this is beautiful, important teaching. I mean, you know, here in Japan, everybody's working on the chakras in their healing thing. They don't understand what the chakras really are, and they're not really sure why they're doing it. But Ra says succinctly, the purpose of clearing each energy center is to allow that meeting place to occur at the indigo ray vibration point, thus making contact with intelligent infinity and dissolving all illusions. Enlightenment. Service to others is automatic at the released energy generated by this state of consciousness. This is non-dual awareness or enlightenment. The space-time and time-space distinctions, as you understand them, do not hold sway except in third density. However, fourth, fifth, and to some extent sixth density also do work within some system of polarized space-time and time-space, meaning an incarnate form, body, type, experience, and then versus a disincarnate, subtle, energy, form, experience. So this is very important. Number one, in third and fourth and fifth and early sixth density, there is a distinction between an incarnative state and a disincarnative or out of body, out of incarnation condition. There's an alternation. Our current understanding of these two, which is called space-time physical and time-space non-physical, our understanding of them really pertains only to, you know, our position in third density. So obviously, we're not going to really understand how these two concepts are in higher densities. Fine. Dewey Larson, the physicist, did understand and present this physics quite accurately, according to Ra. But of course, you know, we're in 3D, so there's a great limit to our physics comprehension of higher densities. And of course, also, even seeking oneness or awareness of oneness, which is the mystical search for satori or enlightenment, freedom from illusion. These concepts, these physics realities of dimensional experience are not really important. Likewise, in Buddhism, they don't care about higher dimensions, not at all. So the point is that each of our dimensions up to higher self has this alternation. Now, when people say, some channels who are clever say, oh, Earth is going into fifth density or fifth dimension, and I ask them, well, what happened to fourth? What is fourth? They say, oh, fourth is collapsing into the physical. What is it? Well, they can't specify it because they're not working from any metaphysical system. They're just talking. But what they mean, I think, is the astral plane is dissolving into third. Well, that's not true at all. What's true is that the astral plane is third density time-space, at least according to this view, if you believe Ra. their density is divided into the physical and the non-physical. The physical is space-time, in which, and Ra, I should have added it here, but I didn't. In physical, in 3D, the emphasis is on freedom to move through space, but the experience of limitation in time. Now, we're sitting in our room, we're walking around, we're getting up and doing things with our body. This is freedom in space. However, our awareness is very much limited to this moment. We forgot the past, we don't know the future, we experience it that way. This is limitation or restriction in time. So consciousness of time, which really means the awareness of sequential flow or causality, causal flow, and I mean, again, we could get very deep into this philosophically, but we don't really have time. We don't have time-space for it, or we don't have space-time for it. We experience limitation in causal awareness. I'm glad you like that. Meaning, we have the experience of discontinuous causality. I experience this moment, but it's only my memory of what came before this moment that helps me understand the causal basis, meaning the cause. It's only my imagination that helps me imagine or consider what might be the result of this current causal moment, meaning now as the cause of the future. That's interesting. That's an illusion. But that's the first matrix, you see? This is the first matrix. The first matrix is the veil in the 3D mind in which there's an experience of space-time, limited awareness of time. And then separation from the after-death, out-of-body, deep meditation, deep mind state of time-space. In that space, or in that condition of time-space, we are relatively free in time and fixed in space. Meaning, out of body, we may think we're moving around, but the spatial movement is very minute. What's really moving is mind. Meaning, the awareness of causal sequence. Meaning, we can look at our past lives, we can look at our planning for the current life, we can look at what we hit, what we didn't hit, what we missed, what we didn't miss. Meaning, opportunities gotten and not gotten in the incarnation related to those plans. We can look at how it affects the future. We can consider future planning or life programming scenarios, how to work through or consider particular imbalances in mind by programming particular future life scenarios that would be related to the current lifetime inability or blockages or opportunities missed. So, out of body, in time-space, we have some relative greater freedom of mind to experience causality or the flow. That's freedom in time. Restriction in space, meaning moving the astral body, is not a big deal. It doesn't really do anything much. What's really moving is mind. In 3D space-time, the physical, we're relatively limited, quite limited, in our awareness of causal flow. Thus, we experience time, meaning, you know, past memory, future fantasy only, really. All of that's not important if we're seeking oneness, and thus Buddhism doesn't care about higher states. They only care about freedom from ignorance and suffering, which is realization of no self or insubstantiality, meaning emptiness, meaning it's a dream. Merrily, merrily, merrily. It's all a play of light. It's all the Brahma, Brahma net. Brahma, it was a very famous sutra Brahma Net Sutra. You can search it. In which the Buddha basically is sort of saying, hey, well, here's how I see it. It's all a jeweled net of Brahma's creation, which is really a nice way of saying infinite energy lines, energy total points, shining light, colors, consciousness, changing fields. That's the creation, not solid objects, and not even a causal sequence. There is no causality. There's no birth and death in real enlightenment. There's an understanding of that. So how to get to that? Ra says the one, meaning the truth of one self, one life, no self, all being. The one is to be sought by the balanced and self-accepting self-aware, both of its apparent distortions and its total perfection. Resting in this balanced awareness, the entity then opens itself to the universe, which it is. And, you know, that's what meditation is. And so meditation, as in the Buddhist tradition, meaning mindfulness of breath or body, mind, letting it be as it is, concentration and attention, without manipulation, is very much resting in the balanced awareness of accepting the mind as it is, opening to the universe, which we are. It's just that, you know? That's just what it is. So that's closer, that's a taste of time-space. And those who are very adept in meditation, and those who are adepts themselves, very much have unified experience of space, time, time, space. Meaning, they see the past and the future somewhat, depending on the level. And so, they don't really need to be concerned with the physics, because there's an experience of the whole. This is also discussed in Alice Bailey Theosophy, where they talked about the way of the mystic and the way of the magician, or the occultist. Now, supposedly, or presumably, that's a positive source, even though some people doubt it, and I have some doubts. When they say the way of the occultist or the magician, I assume they mean positive, and they seem to say so, meaning the way of the worker, the adept, who works by mind with energy in service to all. That's white magic. Different, though, than the mystic or the meditator, the one who seeks enlightenment, the one who's not manipulating anything, but simply opening to what it is, the universe or the all or the infinite. Those are different. And there are really two different types of meditation then. One is planetary service by energy. The other one is opening to what is. And the continual, detached love of mind. You know, detached self-love, which is a strange phrase. It means the self-accepting self, aware of our apparent distortions, and also aware of our total perfection. In Buddhism, is called Buddha nature. I mean, that's not an early term, you know, by the way, Billy, meaning, you know, the Buddha didn't talk about Buddha nature. He talked about basically the capacity for enlightenment, but he really didn't say you have a thing called Buddha nature. It was the Mahayanists later, Zen, other derivatives, Tibet, China, Japan, that developed the notion of Buddha nature. And the problem with that is something called reification. Reification. To reify. very strange word. It means to make a concept into a thing. And so the concept of Buddha nature is a problem to the Theravadins. You know, the Buddha did not talk affirmatively about Nibbana. Nibbana means Nirvana. N-I-B-B-A-N-A equals Nirvana, which also equals Nibbana. Different ways of putting it. It's the blowing out of the flame. It's the extinction of desire. But it's also no grasping, the end of becoming. Becoming meaning reincarnation, actually, and believed change of mind. We believe our mind is real. We believe our thoughts and feelings are real. That's why we freak out, you know? So somebody says, fuck you on the highway by cutting in front of us, or somebody says chemtrails are for the health of plants and animals and babies. To help them. And we say, oh my God, or what an idiot, or I can't believe it. But the reality is, it's all a dream. Meaning, every reaction we have is ultimately, you know, blowing wind or a bubble. And you can see that in meditation when you let stuff come and go, because you see it's kind of empty. If you don't make a story, where is it? Where is your anger? What if you don't think? When you feel anger, what if you'd have no thought? Where is it? So, many years ago, my first awakening, when I was 19, 18, I was sitting in my college dorm room doing meditation late at night, and it came straight up. Oh my God, self is a thought. This self is just a thought. This self is just a thought. Because I could see thought was empty, and thoughts of self were the existence of self. So Ra doesn't really say, you know, they say self and other self, but technically they really say body, mind, spirit complex. That ain't a self. It's a complex of energy fields, you know? To the extent that there's an integration for any particular person of their conscious mind view and their deep mind reality, or the perception of reality in deep mind, meaning the extent to which we are aligned consciously with deep mind knowing, then such philosophical discussion, if we're, you know, getting truth, changes how we live. It's very practical. You know, it's not pie in the sky. Because if you really know self is a thought, or we have the experience of apparent discontinuity in causal awareness, meaning we don't see the past and future. We think there's a past and future. If you know that that's just a matrix, that's the 3D veil. That's 3D space-time. That's the first matrix. So the first matrix, excuse me, is not made by the dark hats. It's made by the logos. It's the plan. You know? So when Morpheus says you can see it all around you, now, yeah, you can see that your house was built with stuff. And maybe that stuff is not really healthy. That's made by, you know, the control system. But you also see stuff that appear solid. Excuse me. And basically, that's not the way it really is. That's just the way it appears. First matrix is the veil in the mind. And if we realize that it doesn't have to be, or we're not seeing what's true, we also could be less reactive emotionally. You know, in the teachings of Nityananda, he makes a distinction between consciousness and awareness. And actually, that's done by the Buddha also, and that's a core higher teaching in Buddhism. Meaning, in Buddhism, there's something called the five skandhas. skandhas. It means five heaps, H-E-A-P-S, or collections. It's basically body-mind experience, or body-mind. Form, feeling, perception, mental formations or volition, and consciousness. Form, feeling, perceptions, mental formations, or thoughts, and basically thoughts, and imagination and memory, and consciousness. And the Buddha said, even consciousness is born of ignorance. So, it means that enlightenment is free of consciousness, or free of attachment to the belief that consciousness is real. Now, if consciousness, or the belief that consciousness is real, is an illusion, born of ignorance, destroyed in Satori or enlightenment, that the Buddha is free of, then what has he got? Awareness. Awareness and consciousness are different. Consciousness implies duality. One who is conscious of something. That's the problem. And so there's self-consciousness, consciousness of self and other, time, space, consciousness, consciousness of unity, even. That's all considered an illusion or a false perception. What's the root of consciousness and the root of the skandhas, the source of the skandhas, is pure awareness. And that's what we are. And so there's a famous Veda Hindu statement. When the knower, I'll write it fast here. When the knower, the known, and the means to knowledge are one, there is Brahma. When the knower, the known, and the means to knowledge are one, there is Brahma. So the knower is our sense of self. The known, excuse me, I'm okay now. The known is the object of consciousness, or our sense of. You see, everything is a concept. Everything is a thought. That's why Ra said, you are dancing thoughts. You're not living in a material universe. You are dancing thoughts. This is a session one, Adrian, that I'll give you the link for in a moment. The first session of the raw material re-listened, like the Matrix reloaded. I discovered an amazing, beautiful quote from Ra that was left out of the published versions. I have no idea why, but they basically said, you are dancing thoughts. I'll read it later. So the idea is, when our sense of ourself, which is the knower, when our sense of a known, an object of consciousness, a thing, something we're conscious of, and our experience of a knowing, meaning body-mind perceiving, when those are unified in the experience in the moment, there is enlightenment. There is pure awareness. There is freedom from duality. Oh, okay, that line is included. Good. So this is really freedom from the belief that the skandhas are real. Freedom from reactivity is the first step. Awareness of our apparent distortions is the first step, which is awareness of our distortions being self-accepting. The self-accepting self, aware of our apparent distortions, of which there are many, and also our total perfection, which is our Buddha nature, or the reality. I mean, I think Buddha nature is a childish phrase myself, but I prefer to focus on the on what is reality. What is reality is that the knower, the known, the means to knowledge are already one. What's real is infinite light in which we experience ourselves as a point of light speaking, conscious, aware, with an experience of time, space, and change. That's what we're aware of. That's not reality. Reality is that the knower, meaning what we are, what we know, and how we know, is one field, is one unified field of light, the Brahmanet. And that's it. And so knowing that self is a concept or a thought, that it dissolves with dissolving of the belief in thought, and that's not the same thing as saying no thought, you know. It's not like the Buddha couldn't think. It's just that the Buddha knew that thought was an illusion. And, you know, Ra talked about the Council of Saturn, the Council of Nine. And they said, they're making decisions for the solar system. That normally their decisions or their conclusions are immediate, of course, because they don't thinking. And Ra said, however, when a need for thought is present, they would get some outside support, meaning other big guys to help them, the extra council. So that phrase I thought was really important, when the need for thought is present. There was no need for thought present. They didn't need to think. So they weren't thinking, but they were knowing. So knowing is superior to thought. When you know, you need not think. When you know, a need for thought is not present. But that knowing is the knowing of the universe itself, not the knowing of me. And that's, that's why Ra said, the crystallized healer has no will. The crystallized healer has no will. Because there's no personal sense of self present to be doing personal willing. Not necessary. Okay. So let me go to the bottom of 42 and we'll move along here. Spiritual energy activation. Don asks, during meditation, we often feel energy in different places on the head. What does this mean and why is it happening? Ra says, various in-streamings of energy are felt and received by the different energy centers which need and are prepared for greater activation. Thus, those who feel the stimulation at violet ray level, ray 7 crown chakra, are getting just that, stimulation. Those feeling it within the forehead between the brows are experiencing indigo ray, arsic, and so forth. If you experience tingling and visual images, it means that there's some blockage in the energy center being activated. Thus, the electrical, etheric body spreads the energy out and its effect is diffused. The diffusion of that effect actually is the cause of the tingling and visual images. People who do not truly request this energy may yet feel it if they're not well-trained in psychic defense. Those who don't want to experience these sensations, energy activations, and changes, even upon the unconscious or subconscious level, and I wrote here from a deep non-seeking, will not experience anything due to their ability that defense and armoring against change in accord with the law of free will. Which is interesting. So, if you feel stimulation at a particular chakra, that is indeed activation of the chakra. That chakra is prepared for such activation. That's one reason you're feeling it. The other reason you're feeling it, you feel it, is because there's blockage. That's why it's getting activated, because it's blocked. And the activation is the development to continue unblocking and continue activation. So the visual images like exploding light or little suns, I used to have the experience of, it was very, very cool. It was sort of like little suns rising and exploding from my third chakra, my third eye, up to the upper level of the forehead. I could actually see little balls of light forming and moving upwards and then bursting. It wasn't so clear, but it was clear enough. And I assume that was unblocking and activation of the upper portion of sixth chakra. If you experience tingling and visual images, that's because of blockage in the center. The etheric body is spreading the energy out, diffusing it. It's not centered in the center, but it is helping the unblocking. At another point, Ra said there were three different, they said later down here, so we'll get into that. The three different meanings or processes activated at sixth center when we feel tingling in the forehead, which is very common in meditation, not rare. Now, the other point that's interesting is not those who don't feel it. There are two levels here. One is those who don't truly request it but feel it. The other is those who don't request it and don't feel it. Though the first is those who feel it but don't want it. If they, it's interesting, this is really somebody who doesn't want spiritual development, at least it seems to me. Somebody who doesn't want, let's say, six chakra activation, like New Yorkers. Present company excluded, of course. But, you know, hard-boiled New Yorkers who, they know what's happening. They're sophisticated. They read the New York Times. They know what's going on. They read the New York Times. They're New Yorkers. They may feel it in the sixth center. I know. I'm sorry, Billy. I'm sorry for saying so. Yeah, well, we need light in the darkness or in the mud. Light in the muddled dim. You are a great light, Billy, actually. I respect you a lot. Those who don't request it, who feel it, if they're not well-trained in psychic defense. Now, this is not a spiritual person who knows psychic defense. This is a not-spiritual person who doesn't know psychic defense, of course. But at some level, it's an interesting thing. The person doesn't request it. The person is yet getting it. They're not well-trained in psychic defense, so it happens. It happens not because they want it, but it happens because they're ready, which is also quite interesting. They're ready for it according to their evolution, but in the conscious mind, they don't want it. So this is a person whose sole need is spiritualization. But the conscious mind says no. But of course, because they're not so conscious or not so spiritually developed, they don't know psychic defense. That's a whole other story, which we can talk about for another few hours. So this is really the case of the newly developing spiritual, the newly awakening, sort of, who don't really want it, but they're getting it because they can't stop it. And from a higher level, they ought to be receiving it, but they don't create want it, and they get some stimulation. The other category, those who really don't want it, even upon the subconscious level, this is a serious slacker or a serious rejecter of dissolving self. And that's the issue, actually. Those sophisticated New Yorkers have a big, big me, a big nose. I mean, they may not be Jewish, who cares? But nose is a third chakra on the face. Big nose is a big me, big ego. That's a facial reading. So they have a big nose, figuratively. They have a big ego, big me-go. It's their me-go, a big sense of me-ego. And they really don't want it. And that is actually psychic defense, believe it or not. It's a defense against light, not attack. It's a defense against awakening. And it's armoring against change. And what we do see now in the world is the shattering of armor. These are two chapters in my second book. A lovely title, I think. Shattering Armor, chapter 1-2 in the second book, Universal Vision. What we're seeing now is global shattering armor. And what's interesting is, and this could be another essay, we see two categories, of 3D natives getting their armor shattered. One is those who don't want it consciously, but they're getting it. Two is those who really don't want it and don't get it, meaning, you know, they're knocked down and they're chemical sprayed, but they still don't know and don't want to know. You know, just put me back in front of the TV. Business as usual. So anyway, these are two levels of psychic defense and two levels of rejection of light or rejection of chakra activation. But it is good to know, why am I feeling this stimulation? Because it's activation, because there's still blockage. Don asks, I'm going to just finish the next two little paragraphs and that'll be all for our material today. Don asks, is it normal to get two simultaneous stimulations at once? Ra says, for the adept, it is most normal to experience indigo stimulation, activating that great gateway, the spirit shuttle, into healing, magical work, prayerful attention, and the radiance of being. And the stimulation of Vayan Ray, which is the spiritual giving and taking from and to creator, from creator to creator, this is a desirable configuration. It could take a long time to actually unpack that reply also. So Ra is saying, yes, for the adept, it's normal to get stimulation of six and seven centers simultaneously. What is it? Six center is the gateway to seven, the spirit shuttle. It's the gateway to intelligent infinity. Intelligent infinity being the quality of seventh chakra, or basically the quality of creation or reality accessed by seventh chakra. Now, that great gateway brings energy, or brings pure power, really, brings the creator being down through seven into six, coming out as intelligent energy. That intelligent energy is etheric, is tied to the global, the universal etheric body. Universal etheric energy body is the body of oneness. So the human etheric is tied to the sixth chakra, not a lower chakra, interestingly. When the gateway between six and seven is open, accessing intelligent infinity coming out down through six into intelligent energy, it manifests as healing, magical work, prayerful attention, and radiance of being. Healing is working through fourth chakra, six to four. Magical work is six to five or six only. Prayerful attention is six only. Radiance of being is six only. You notice that these are not necessarily doing, or the doing is an at-one-ment. Healing is assisting others to put themselves at one, to unify, to basically bring body, mind, spirit, energy fields into some greater condition of alignment with oneness, or condition of harmony and, you know, symmetry, you know, energy, activation, balancing, harmony. That's healing. That's very much 6 to 4. Magical work is 6, 6, 5, 6 only, meaning chakras. Prayerful attention is basically, you know, communion with the one, which is 6. Radiance of being is that communion poured outwards, which is really the intrinsic service of wanderers to the planet. You know, radiant love, light, transmission, being, not doing. Now, the second stimulation here is 7th ray, 7th chakra, and its manifestation is basically the reality of creation, regardless of whether we know it or not, which is the ever-present, really. You know, enlightenment is becoming conscious of what is, or dissolving personal consciousness into an experience of the universal awareness of what is. What is already a spiritual giving and taking of creator to creator, from creator to creator, creator to creator, meaning what we are is, you know, one with the field, the universal field. And when 6 and 7 are linked and activated, then we know it. And a final point here is Don's question, well, what happens if we feel stimulation in meditation in indigo, 6 ray? And this is, again, very practical for those who get it. Ross says, one who feels this activation is experiencing in-streamings at that energy center, 6, to be used either for, 1, unblocking the center, 2, it's tuning to match harmonics of other energy centers, which means 1 through 5, or 3, to activate gateway to intelligent infinity, which is the link 6 to 7. We can't be specific, for each of these workings may be occurring in the person who feels such physical sensations. So, tingling at the forehead is activation of 6 center. There are 3 purposes or functions of such activation, and it's very simple, actually. The first is development, unblocking of the center itself, 6 for 6, meaning activation of 6 for the development of 6. Second potential is activation of 6 for the tuning and coordination of 6 with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The third possibility is the development of 6 for its linkage to 7. So first is the working on the unblocking of 6 itself, then the coordination or tuning, linking joint, really tuning, coordination, fine energy, harmonic alignment coverage with the other centers, 1 through 5, or the activation of 6 to 7. Bridge, the gateway to 7, intelligent infinity. Very straight, very simple teaching there. So, that's it. Unfortunately, although we have only a small paragraph before the next part, the question of diet and spiritual growth is actually very important, and we would never be able to get into this now, because we're already over our 2 hours. So the next section, diet and spiritual growth, we'll start with next week, and then get into principles of service. This is lovely stuff, I think. So, thank you everybody for being here and for contributions, the links that you gave and comments. Good night and see you next week. Okay, bye-bye.